Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran on this. It's starting to look a lot like Christmas Sunday morning. We just got some snow. Good to see you today. Good to be here in God's house with God's people on December 13th, the third Sunday in Advent. So welcome. Welcome to you who are in the sanctuary today. Welcome to those who are out in the parking lot listening on the radio, and welcome to you who are at home taking it in online. So just a few announcements before we get started. Take a look at the back page of the bulletin. Tuesday through Friday, I'll be in the office, so stop by for a socially distant visit. So I had quite a few of those this week. It was kind of fun. They come in, and we keep our distance, but we have a nice visit. Wednesday, 6:30 to 8:30, youth group, grades 5 through 12. They're meeting virtually, so find the meetgoogle.com link on our Foundry Facebook page. Thursday at 9 a.m., Grace Lutheran Women meet in the Fellowship Hall. They're going to be packing some Christmas boxes like they do every year to cheer somebody up. So if you want to participate, they would love to have you join them. And then a worship update. A letter will be going out to the congregation with some very important information. Basically, the long and the short of it is the council decided that we're going to continue on doing our Sunday morning worship the way we're doing. Masks on, socially distanced, parking lot, online. It's manageable. It's working. So we're going to carry on. Christmas Eve, however, we know is a whole different animal. It's not uncommon to have 350 people in this church from the community, and so we just felt it was the better part of wisdom this year to say we're going to do that virtually. We're not going to do in-person worship for Christmas Eve. It's just too big of a risk right now. So that's the long and the short of it. There's some other information coming out in the letter about how we're going to connect. Our phone callers are going to be at it again. We just want to check in with everybody and see how you're doing and give you an opportunity for some feedback. And so we're looking forward to that. Birthdays this week, a happy birthday if you're on this list. And then our December mission of the month is Heart to Heart Thailand. That's a ministry based in Thailand that we've been supporting for years, and it's just shifted into a new name now, Heart to Heart Thailand. Next Sunday is December 20th. It's actually the fourth Sunday of Advent, not the third. So we'll be carrying on again next Sunday with Sunday school and confirmation by virtual only. So stay at home and stay safe and take it in online. You can find the links or the videos on the Foundry Facebook page. I think Sunday school day, should you put that on the church Facebook page too? Yeah. Okay, so that's both places. Confirmation is just on the Foundry page. That's the youth group page. So, and then, of course, 10 a.m. worship in the sanctuary parking lot and online. Now, something's coming up where I did just went to Walmart yesterday morning and bought a 2021 planner. A lot of us have been joking we're not going to get into 2021 until we see a trailer first. But, hey, we've set the bar pretty low for 2021, I think, with 2020. So it's got to be better, right? It's going to be better. So, and 2021 means that at January 24th, we have our annual meeting here at church. So we want to get that on your radar too. And then always a thank you to all of our volunteers, the people in the sound room back there who make this happen virtually and in-house too with all of the PowerPoints and the sound, and to our worship team and then to our Sunday school team too. So a big thank you. Any other announcements before we get started today? All right, let's pause for a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning, and we open our service today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome. We're going to open this morning with an Advent hymn from the Green Hymnal, page 35, or it will be up on the screen as well. And the name of this hymn is Hark the Glad Sound. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. He comes the
to worship is an Advent reading. As we light the third Advent candle, reflect on Jesus, the everlasting Father. As a father has compassion, so the Lord has compassion on us. As we light the third Advent candle, reflect on Jesus, the everlasting Father. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them. As we light the third Advent candle, reflect on Jesus, the everlasting Father. From everlasting to everlasting, he gathers us in his arms for all eternity. He is our Father, and we praise his merciful name. A moment of silence for the lighting of the Advent candles. Our next hymn is titled, What Child Is This? It's hymn number 40, or as seen on the screens.
What child is this who lives? on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet. Shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring in law the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Hail, spear shall pierce him through the cross before. For me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Praise, praise the Son on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
It's so wonderful to sing these Christmas hymns, and this hymn especially reminds us that what that child came to do. He came to become our brother, to take our place on the cross, to suffer and die for us, to release us from our sins. And so what child is this? He's a Savior. He's a Savior that we connect with every Sunday when we stand before God openly and honestly and confess our need for a Savior and hear of his forgiveness. And let's do that together. We direct our attention to the brief order for confession and forgiveness found on page 56, or as it appears on the screen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's promise to us sinners from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us this morning is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith. And today, we follow this confession with a baptism. And so this is the faith into which this child, William, will be baptized. And it's also the faith that Christians all over the world for over 1,700 years have confessed. An explanation of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, otherwise known as the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And may God's peace be with each and every one of you. All right. Well, I'm going to ask, of course, the man of the hour here, William Jeffrey Levine, to come on up, and of course, he could bring his parents too, Jeff and Beth and siblings, and then I'm going to ask the sponsors, Randy and Melissa, to make their way up here. You guys can all stand over there by Jeff and Beth. They've been through this before. And what a privilege this is for us to see acted out in front of us an explanation of the third article of the Creed. We just crossed over in confirmation this morning and began to talk about the third article, which deals with the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit's role to come to us and give us faith to believe in Jesus. And today we rejoice in what God is going to do in the sacrament of holy baptism. So welcome, everyone. This is such a thrill, and we're excited that we can still do this in spite of COVID. Can you hear me okay? Because I'm going to keep my mask on. All right. So let us hear what the Scripture teaches about our sin and the redemption provided by God in Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 3 and chapter 5, the words of St. Paul. Through one person, sin entered the world, passing sin onto all people. Because of sin, death came on everyone. Therefore, all are under the condemnation of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent another person, his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sin. Through his death, he atoned for the sin of the whole world, so that those who believe in him are delivered from death and declared righteous and given eternal life. Let us hear also the words of our Lord himself as he invited little children to come to him, even babies, from the Gospels of St. Luke and St. Mark. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. What an object lesson our Lord gives us here, that we actually need to become like William. We have to be held in the arms of God, to be helpless. That's what he does for us. We don't save ourselves. That's his act. And so an illustration of saving faith here is to be held in the arms of Jesus, not to offer him anything, but receive everything he's done for us. Therefore, in order that this child, just like all of us, is by nature sinful from the time of conception, may see the kingdom of God, into which our Lord Jesus Christ himself has said that none can enter unless born of water and the Spirit, we will now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, receive him through holy baptism into Christ's believing church, that he may have a part in his salvation, as he himself promised when he commanded his disciples to baptize and teach. Our Lord's words from Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Well, Jeff and Beth and Randy and Melissa, to that end of our Lord saying, go and baptize, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also teach, I have some questions for you to answer as you think about what God is going to begin in William's life here, and then your role as parents. A little booklet I gave you a while ago talked about this, what's going on here, kind of like gardening. Isn't it a miracle when our winter is over, the long white death, as I refer to it, and then the soil warms up in the spring, and we put a dry, dead seed in the ground and water it. What happens? That thing comes to life. That just blows my mind every year. I love to garden. And that's what happens in baptism. God is going to plant the seed of faith in William now. But as a gardener, I know that once that plant begins to grow, which is a miracle, I need to what? I need to water. I need to pull weeds. And that's your role, Jeff and Beth. You're the waterers and the weed pullers. And the church, too. We all participate in that. And so these questions are directed to that. And of course, also God's promise that he's with you in this always to the very end of the age. So Jeff and Beth, do you believe and confess the ancient and orthodox creed, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the creed that we just confessed, the Apostles' Creed? Is that the faith into which you want William to be baptized? If so, answer by saying yes. Okay. Do you renounce, and this is kind of part of the old baptismal liturgy, but I think it's very pertinent, do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all of his empty promises?
Yes.
Will you make every effort to provide a Christian home for William and surround him with love?
Yes.
Will you give William access to the worship and teaching of the church so that he may come to a more mature faith in Christ as his Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for William's, for his physical, spiritual, and mental development? And then, having been a parent myself, I always throw this in, will you love him even when he's a teenager? Okay, all right, that's good. All right. Sponsors, it's your turn. Will you pray for William, use your influence to guide him in knowing Christ better, and will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for him? If so, answer by saying yes. All right. Well, it's time. So he's sleeping. I hope the water's warm, but go ahead. Lean him over here. William Jeffrey Levine, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And the water is warm, so thank you. All right, there we go. You just got your head washed today. All right, give that to you. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us now pray specifically for William. Almighty and merciful God and Father, we give you thanks for preserving and extending your church, and for extending your grace now to William in holy baptism. Receive him as your child and an heir to your eternal kingdom. We humbly ask you to defend and keep him in this grace and in this faith, that he may never depart from you, but may always live according to your will, finally receiving the fullness of your promise in your eternal kingdom. We pray this through the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. God declares and gives us this promise in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." William, receive the sign of the cross. Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we'll now light a baptismal candle for William and hand out the paperwork. William, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And I think I'll give this to you. You've got some free hands. You can put that out when we sit down. And we have William's baptismal certificate and then your certificate as a sponsor. All right, everyone's got something to hang on to. All right, Jeff, I'm going to ask you to spin around and show your pride and joy off to his church family. So, William, we welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as God's fellow heir and member with the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father and worker with us in the kingdom of God. And we look forward to what you're going to do for us and with us in this church. Peace be with you. And William, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I think at this time, a round of applause would be just awesome. So. William Jeffrey Levine. Awesome. Thank you so much for being up here, unless you have a speech.
No, thank you.
No? The speech will come later in various contexts, I have a feeling. Okay. All right. There was more than one time I commented, "I'm glad I got that one baptized." Anyway, my parents said the same thing about me, too, so... I could just kind of sit here and bask in the glow of what God's done. It's just, baptism is just a beautiful thing. But we'll press on. We've got some scriptures listed in the lectionary for this third Sunday in Advent. And normally we have scripture readers, but because of COVID and we're just trying to minimize, keep you all in the pews. And so I'll stay up here and I'll do the scripture reading for a while. But I look forward to when our readers can come back up and participate at this level. But our first reading is the epistle text listed in the lectionary for this third Sunday in Advent. And it's from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first letter, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Life in Christ. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. What beautiful gospel words Paul gives us in this passage. He is faithful. He will bring it to pass. Then our gospel reading for this Sunday is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then verses 19 through 28. This is the witness of John, referring specifically to John the Baptist. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, a good summary of these two passages. When he preaches repentance, John the Baptist points us to Christ Jesus. John was sent by God as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. This one shall redeem his people from their sins. Therefore, as Paul says, we rejoice always in the Lord, and we pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, pray without ceasing. Let us pray together the prayers of the church. You'll respond as indicated. We pray for guidance, O Lord God. You have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for help in this pandemic. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in giving relief, and for our own giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good words for us today on this third Sunday of Advent. As we prepare to dive a little deeper into God's Word, let's prepare our hearts for the message today by turning in our hymnals to hymn number 24, or as it appears on the screen, "Come, O Precious Ransom."
Ransom, come, only hope for sinful mortals. Come, O Savior of the earth, open unto you our portals. branches will be mine when you are my guest divine. My hosannas and my palms graciously receive, I pray you. Evermore, as best I can, homage I will gladly pay you, and in faith I will embrace life eternal by your grace. Hail, Hosanna, David's son, Jesus, hear our supplication. Let your kingdom scepter crown bring us blessing and salvation, that forever we may sing, Hail Hosanna to our King.
Well, it's that time in our service where I really wish I could invite you kids to meet me up at the table over there, but for now, you just stay in your pew and direct your attention to the screens, and maybe they'll be able to zoom in on what I have to show you today for our children's message. Well, good to see you today, kids. I have on the table here something that's been showing up, I think, at everyone's house in different forms. I have some Christmas cards. Aren't these fun to get? So I have a Christmas card here from a former student who's now a pastor in Wisconsin. His name is Jim Rademacher, and his wife, Sarah. And, of course, the card shows pictures individually of each of his children and their spouses, so that's kind of fun. And then on the back of the card, Jim has a nice message. So it's good to, it's been good over the years. Jim and Sarah send us a Christmas card every year, and we've watched their kids grow up through these cards, so that's kind of cool. And then I have another one here of a couple, Rachel and Troy. I did a wedding for them years ago, and that was very fun. This wedding was in Fergus Falls at the Federated Church. And you can see now that this marriage resulted in three children. And what a joy it is to get a Christmas card from Troy and Rachel every year. And just to watch their family grow and know that I was blessed to be a part of that wedding. And what a happy family that looks like. They've even got the dog in there. It looks like a Labradoodle. So pretty cool. And then I have, and this guy might be familiar to you. This is from Luke and Jeanette Burnson. Now, Luke was the youth pastor here for a while, quite a few years ago. And Luke was a single guy at seminary. He was another student of mine. And Jeanette came, too, as a student. And I was pastoring at a church at the time. And Jeanette was volunteering at the church teaching Sunday school, and all of a sudden Luke started showing up, and I realized pretty soon it wasn't for my preaching, it was for Jeanette. And of course they're happily married, and Luke is a pastor too. So what a joy it is. But these cards have special meaning to me because I know the real people in each card. They're not just strangers to me. They're not just images on paper. I know them physically and personally. And I want to remind you kids today that as we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating not just a story in a book, not just some presents under the tree to celebrate that, but we're celebrating a real person. And this is as real as you can get, what happened at Christmas, that God, a spirit being, came down into our world and took on a human body so that he could be really with us, so that he could be our brother and then go to the cross, take our place, suffer and die, forgive us our sins, and rise again from the dead. And because Jesus is a real person and he came in a real body, we have true, real hope. So let's remember that, kids, that it's not just the story we're celebrating. It's a real person, and his name is Jesus. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, we pray that you would give us faith to just to remember your reality, your coming into our world personally, taking on a human body. You experience fully everything this world has, its sorrow, its trouble. And because of that, nothing that strikes us in this life has not struck you first. You know, you understand, and you care about us. Grant us faith to look to the reality of the cross and the reality of the resurrection, because you are a real Savior. Amen and amen. As we come before God's word this morning, let's just pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, speak to us now through your word. Grant us faith by your Holy Spirit working through these words. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we will hear from one of the Old Testament prophets who spoke of the Advent, the arrival, and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Zechariah. And if you allow me, I'll do this in the first person. My name is Zechariah. I was a prophet who encouraged God's people after they returned from their exile. They returned from Babylon, where they had been taken captive, and boy, did they need encouragement. You see, when the people first came back from Babylon, they were so enthusiastic. They started right to work on rebuilding God's temple, the temple that had been destroyed. But then we started getting some grief about our faith from the people who lived in the area. So we started to become more and more concerned about our own houses and our own businesses. And before you knew it, our work on God's temple just kind of stopped. Didn't seem like that big of a deal. After all, we could see from the foundation of this not yet finished temple that it would be nothing near as grand as the temple that Solomon had built that was destroyed. Actually, looking at the foundation, it became a little embarrassing. It was so small and puny. It just became a reminder to us of how good we used to have it with Solomon's great temple. That was probably for the best that we didn't finish it. And so 16 years went by, and that small, unfinished temple just became part of the landscape. But not for God. He saw the unfinished temple in a completely different way. He saw it as a symptom of a heart that would not look to him and to his future, a heart that only wanted easy things. We soon learned from my fellow prophet Haggai that God did not want us to look back when we gazed at our tiny temple, but he wanted us to look forward. Why, we had forgotten what a miracle it was that God had brought us out of the Babylonian exile in the first place. It was like when Israel came out of Egypt. Unless God was in it, it would have never happened. God didn't care about the size of the new temple, for it was a new beginning. And he is the God of new beginnings. But aren't we all like this? We want everything finished and complete now. But God often calls us to start at the beginning, and then he walks with us. Even though it may be hard, and we might have to give up on what we want and give up looking for the easy. Together with my fellow prophet Haggai, God explained through us that this tiny temple was his tiny temple. It was his new beginning for us. He was in it, and that's all that really mattered. It was the dawning of a new era. We would no longer look for a great earthly kingdom, but we should see like our tiny temple as God's foothold on earth, a foothold for his coming heavenly kingdom. Here was what my friend Haggai told them. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. And for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. But then Haggai went on to say something else that was very interesting. Just like he pointed to the tiny temple and told us to look forward, he also pointed to the grandson of one of the last Davidic kings to sit on the throne of Judah. His name was Zerubbabel. And even though he could only be a governor of the Judah, because the Persians were still in control, Haggai told us to look at him as another of God's miracles. For he pointed towards something even greater. You see, in the same way that the new tiny temple served as a foothold for God's coming kingdom, so this man, Zerubbabel, who was descended from the great King David, served as God's guarantee that God would fulfill his promise of the great messianic king to come from David's lineage. And this is where I come in. For God gave me some great insights into this future messianic king. Insights that have earned me the nickname, the Prophet of Holy Week. You know that one week in the church year when Christians focus on the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's right, God gave me insights some 500 years before Jesus was born into what this Jesus, this messianic king from David's line, would do when he brought God's kingdom to earth. I spoke of Jesus the King riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And in my prophecy, we can see that he would be unlike any king we have ever heard about. Here is what I said. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and empowered with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. He will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea. And just like God had told Isaiah some 200 years before my time, he told me that this king would be a humble servant, who rather than demanding our service, would instead serve us by cleansing us of our sins. And just like in Isaiah's day, and even your day today, this is what we need. God showed me this need for cleansing in a vision. I saw Joshua, who was our high priest at the time. And as our priest, he represented us before God. Normally, when he represented us in the temple, he would bathe himself and wear the clean linen priestly garments, the ephod, the belt, the breastplate, and the turban that God required. But in my vision, I saw him standing before God in filthy and tattered garments. Well, he looked like he had been run over by a herd of cattle and then thrown into the pig pen. To make matters worse, Satan was standing beside him, hurling accusations at him, telling him what a dirty sinner he was. I guess you could say that since Joshua was our representative, his appearance and Satan's accusations were aimed at us also. And then it dawned on me, is this how I look to a holy God? Does Satan have a right to accuse me? But no more had I thought this when I heard the Lord himself speak. What he said was amazing. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And again he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away, and I will clothe you with festal robes." Beautiful. What a picture God gives us here of his forgiveness. And yet so many times we let Satan stand there and accuse us, telling us that we have sinned, telling us how dirty we are, that we are not good enough for God, that we should try harder and fail. But the Lord has indeed chosen us, and he simply calls us to look away from ourselves and to him, to his cleansing. God's new day is ours. He has given it to us freely, and there is no room for Satan in it. Suddenly, I felt a wave of comfort come over me, for if God was going to cleanse us and clothe us, it would be so. And it would last. It would be perfect. But then I began to wonder just how God would go about accomplishing this great cleansing. But then he spoke again and pointed me to the coming servant king, Jesus, who would accomplish God's great cleansing for sinners. He said, "Now listen, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you. I am going to bring in my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, the high priest, on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day." This vision of the great messianic king being our servant is hard for us to grasp, because just like we looked at that tiny temple, we want something big and grand, not something humble and small. Even in Jesus' day, there were those who rejected him as their king because he didn't quite fit what their idea of a king should be. This is why I also predicted Judas betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and the disciples abandoning Jesus when he was arrested and crucified. Yes, this kind of king is hard for us to accept, because we have to look at our own sin to see the reason why he came. Why he came humble and mounted on a beast of burden. Why he came humble as a servant. Yes, he would be king, but he would also be a priest who would offer himself as a sacrifice for our cleansing. This was the only way we could have peace with God. One day, when I was meeting with our high priest Joshua, God had me involve him in my prophecy of the coming king, who would also act like a priest. This is the word of the Lord that came to me, saying, "Take an offering from the exiles, take silver and gold, and make an ornate crown, a king's crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the high priest. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will bear the honor and sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace will be between the two offices.'" So now I realize that the coming king will be a priest. That's right. In God's new kingdom, the two offices of priest and king would be united in this one person of Jesus Christ. That's why God told me to make a kingly crown and put it on the priest's head. We now see that in Jesus we have a priest to bring us to God, but a priest with the power of a king. And this powerful priest would provide the total package of what the whole temple symbolized. He would be the new beginning, the new meeting place with God. Just like the temple was where we met God, now we would meet God in this person of Jesus Christ. He would be the new sacrifice that would take away our sins forever, like the sacrifices we offered at the temple. And he would be the new high priest who would represent us sinners before a holy God. Peace with God. That was the mission of this priestly King Jesus. And we know that as we prepare for Christmas this year, We must first look at our own sin to appreciate what Jesus came to do for us as our humble servant, our priest, our temple. But we should also remember that he is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords with power and majesty. This is why God gave me a final message about Jesus' second coming. And we should remember that at this time, he will not come as a suffering servant, a baby born in a lowly manger, but he will come as a conquering king to reclaim this earth for his own purposes, to reclaim us. Listen to the message that God gave me about this. Behold, the day is coming, says the Lord. In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in the front of Jerusalem. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. It will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but it will come about that at evening time there will be light. And in that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. In that day the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. Are you ready to meet this king, the only one, the holy one? Take comfort. This is what Advent and Christmas are all about. For he came first to us. For King Jesus came to die and rise for you. And in these powerful events, God has made you ready to meet him. He has covered you with forgiveness and his righteousness. And because he has made you ready, tell Satan to take a hike. Drop those filthy garments and put on the robes of Jesus' righteousness. For you are a brand plucked from the fire by God. You are completely cleansed by the priest king, and he has that power to make it so. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, I praise you today for being outrageously generous with the currency of kindness, tolerance, and patience, and it's only because Jesus took the judgment we deserve that you can deal so graciously with us. And I praise you for leading us to humility, not to humiliation, to shelter, not to shame, to repentance, not to penance. When we repent, we're not the one making promises for change. You are. Only you can change us, and you are changing us. You've promised to complete the good work you began in us. When we repent, we simply collapse upon Jesus, who is our righteousness. Because the gospel is true and you are so kind, I do repent. May the fresh kindness I receive from you be the needed kindness I freely extend to others. Amen and amen. A beautiful prayer by Scotty Smith.
The night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? Tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I shepherd boy? Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. led the shepherd boy to the mighty King. Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know? In your palace, warm, mighty King.
Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say. A child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
Thank you, Amy and Dacia. One of the great gifts that God has given to us is the gift of prayer. And let's take advantage of that gift right now as we pray for those who need God's help today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of prayer, the opportunity to come before you. Lord, we lift up all those who are struggling at this time, struggling with any number of issues. Maybe it's pandemic related, maybe it's relational, maybe it's some other health issue besides the coronavirus. We live in a broken world, Lord, and we're all broken sinners, but you have come into our world with goodness and grace. So shine your light upon those who need your help now, who are struggling and suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray especially for those who are on our front line. We pray especially for our medical personnel who on a daily basis are dealing with people who are infected with the coronavirus, and yet they have to go home and be a mom or a dad or a daughter or a son or a brother or a sister or a grandchild. Lord, watch over them, keep them safe, and protect those they interact with. Lord, we pray also for those who provide us with the opportunity to buy groceries and gasoline and home repair supplies and any other things we need. They're on the front line too also, Lord. Watch over and keep them safe. Watch over their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own prayers to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Go ahead.
Well, as our time together this morning comes to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand. I'm just going to close with a few verses that come from the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. The words are just a little different. So we're going to sing together, We Worship and Adore You.
We worship and adore you. We worship and adore you. We worship and adore you. Christ the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on this beautiful white Sunday that it just turned into. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God.
Thanks be to God.